The eye, man's richest sense, is his link to the world and its wealth of imagery. Vision begins with light, the shower of the sun's energy radiating through space to Earth. During each of our waking seconds, the eye sends a billion pieces of fresh information to the brain. The eye is capable of incredible distinctions, differentiating between 10 million gradations of light and 7 million shades of color. That, in essence, is the primary function of the eye, to catch and filter light, channeling it to the brain for interpretation. Thus, while most animals rely upon their senses of smell and sound to connect them to the outside world, man primarily depends on his eyes. The human eye is an extension of the brain. During the early stages of fetal development, the eye and brain are actually one. Eventually, with the passing of time, the eye grows away from the fetal brain like a plant reaching out, stretching toward the sunlight. The eye becomes an independent entity, separate from the brain, yet inexorably linked to it by a cable of dense nerve fiber, the optic nerve. In the back of the eye lies the retina, a light-catching net where chemistry converts light into electricity. If you were to closely examine the cell tissue of the retina, you would discover that it is woven of brain cells. In a very real sense, then, the human eye, the living crystal of vision, the outpost of the brain, functions as the eye of the brain. Before modern science had come to fully understand the remarkable mechanism of the eye, the visual organ attracted the attention of both mystics and poets who were intrigued by its wonder and power. The usually cold, scientific observer, Leonardo da Vinci, awed by the marvel of the eye, wrote, "O mighty process, what talent can avail to penetrate such a nature as this? What tongue will it be that can unfold such a great wonder?" Many cultures have subscribed supernatural powers to the eye. Others have seen it as an evil force, as the evil eye. Gurus and mystics have talked of the imaginary third eye in the center of the forehead, upon which they focus their attention to unlock the mysteries of their bodies, minds, and the universe during meditation. Warrior tribesmen in New Zealand believed that the magic of divinity rested within the eye. Whenever a tribal chief died, the members of his tribe ate his eyes in an effort to partake of this divinity. In the words of the poet Robert Blake, the eyes are the dim windows of the soul that betray the secrets of the heart. "His eyes gave him away" is a phrase much overworked in detective fiction, but it has a strong ring of truth. Customs inspectors, police interrogators, psychiatrists, persons involved in eliciting information from others, know instinctively that the eyes are the mirrors of the mind. The eyes are unconscious betrayers of our emotions. They can signal to the perceptive observer the way we think and feel. Modern science now confirms the long-held belief that the eye actually does more than fill the mind with light and vision. We have learned through research, for example, that as well as being the organ for vision, the eye has non-visual functions as well. Everyone is familiar with the story about the student who, when he is asked a question by his teacher, looks upward, whereupon the teacher advises him, "You're not going to find the answer on the ceiling." Undoubtedly he won't, but we are now aware that his instinctive eye movement allowed him to retrieve the particular information he needed from the memory stored within his brain. Breakthrough research tells us that the eye acts as a mechanism to stimulate the recall of sensorially stored impressions in the brain. Certain patterns of eye movements have been found to beam electrical impulses to the brain. These impulses then act as reference beams that stimulate and unfold our holographically stored memory. You have probably been aware of this phenomenon of eye movement and memory recall all of your life, but have never given it conscious thought. For example, have you ever noticed that when you ask someone a question whose answer requires some searching of memory stored long ago, that the individual's eyes shift to various positions as he attempts to draw the information to consciousness from long-term memory? Or have you ever observed the eyes of one who is caught up in a lucid daydream, a fantasy so rich in sensory detail that the person loses momentary consciousness of reality? Did you notice that their eyes were in a centrally fixed position? Have you ever witnessed the darting, rapid-fire eye movements of one who is asleep and dreaming? You may have noticed momentary spasms in the eyes of one who intentionally fabricates an untruth. Or perhaps you have been aware of your own subtle eye movements as you have searched the recesses of your memory in an attempt to reconstruct memories of the past or to project your thoughts into the future. In a study conducted at the Langley Porter Neuropsychiatric Institute at the University of California School of Medicine in San Francisco, the researchers asked volunteers a variety of questions. On a quarter, which way does the profile of George Washington face? Describe in vivid detail the appearance of your first grade teacher. What is the definition of the word economics? Recall in your mind the voice of your first grade teacher. Depending on the type of information that was demanded, that is, whether the request was for verbal concepts, visual images, or auditory memories, the eyes of the research subjects shifted in predictable positions, as though the movement aided the accessibility of the memory and data recall. A similar study at Yale University asked subjects questions like, "What color was your first bike?" "How many rooms were there in the house in which you grew up?" "How many letters are there in anthropology?" "If you won $1 million in a lottery, how would you spend the money?" Once again, specific patterns of predictable eye shifts were noted by the researchers. Numerous other studies conducted by university researchers have confirmed and validated the relationship between specific patterns of eye movement and sensory memory recall. Since the eyes act as a trigger for the recall of sensory impressions stored in the brain's memory, then by intentionally moving the eyes in a particular direction, it is possible to strengthen and fortify your ability to instantly recall or trigger the holographically encoded impressions in your mind. Until now, brain researchers have always considered our lack of control over the information stored in our brain as the weak link in the system. Without a method of control, it has been like having a huge library of good and bad holographically encoded film plates haphazardly stored, with no system of indexing or labeling that enables you to select the quality information you'd like to play back. But now we have that missing link. With the simple, easy-to-learn patterns of eye movements explained in this cassette, you'll be able to unlock a new doorway into your mind. You'll be able to create doorknobs or mental laser beams to store, activate, and recall the memory of high-achievement behaviors and habits stored in your mind. Consider again just how important this scientific knowledge can be to your future success in all aspects of your life. By manipulating an eye movement in a certain direction, you can input or recall specific sensory impressions into and from your brain. These mental laser beams will provide easy access to your mental storehouse, increasing the capacity and ability of your brain to create, store, and activate your personal, sensory-rich images of achievement. Before we introduce you in detail to the specific patterns of eye movement and what they mean, let's first go through an exercise that will acquaint you with your own instinctive patterns of eye shifts. As I ask you, one by one, the following questions, which will require you to search your memory, take a few moments to search your mind for each answer. While you do this, allow yourself to be sensitive to where your eyes want to naturally shift. Do they move to the right or left, to an upper or lower position? Even if the shifts are fleeting or very subtle, try to gain a sense of the direction and inclination of the movements that occur. First, I'll ask a question. After each question, I'll pause for a few moments to let you search out the answers in your mind. To allow you more time to think, we recommend that you stop the recorder after each question, then start it again when you are ready to proceed to the next question. Are you ready? Let's begin. The first set of questions has to do with visual memory recall. Think of someone from your past whom you haven't thought of in years, maybe a childhood friend or a grade school teacher. As clearly and as vividly as possible, visually recall from memory the exact contour of his or her face, head, shoulders, and body. Next, recall the exact posture, length of step, and style of this person's walk. And finally, recall the characteristic facial expressions, smile, frown, and laugh of this person. The second set of questions deal with the mental construction of visual images. Construct in your mind the following images as clearly and as vividly as possible. A mental picture of a red-winged chimpanzee with a giraffe's neck and an elephant's trunk. Pretend you're a baseball with eyes. What do you see as you are thrown toward a batter? What do you see traveling through the air as you fly out of the ballpark? Now imagine that you have won a $1 million jackpot. Construct in your mind's eye, in exact detail, three luxury items you will purchase with the money and see yourself possessing those items. The third set of questions deals with auditory memory. Recall from your experience the following sounds as clearly as possible. The subdued clapping of hands in token applause. The sound of your grandmother's voice calling your name. And finally, the sound of the voice of your first childhood best friend. The fourth set of questions concerns construction of new sounds. Create a language of your own and mentally sound out the translation of the words talk and smell. Next, hear the voice of Johnny Carson introducing you as a guest on The Tonight Show, telling the audience about one of your worthy accomplishments. The fifth set of questions deals with recalling the memory of emotions and feelings. Think of the following emotions you have experienced in your early childhood and mentally recreate them as clearly as possible. The feeling of fear. The feeling of sudden joy. And the feeling of supreme accomplishment. The sixth set of questions concerns motion memory and body sensation recall. Try to capture the sensations you would experience in your arms, legs, hands, feet, etc., as you mentally perform each of the following actions. The feeling of running your feet through cold, wet sand. The feeling of your hand in motion drawing a square on a paper. The sensation of straining leg muscles, heavy breathing, and fatigue as you run up a steep hill. The seventh set of sensory impressions deals with a sense of smell. Try to recreate from memory the following smells. The penetrating vapors of Vicks VapoRub. The smell of rotting fish. And finally, the aroma of freshly baked bread. The last set of impressions concern taste. Try to sense, based on your past memory, the following tastes in your mouth. The taste of an artichoke. The taste of salty, buttery popcorn. The taste generated from biting into a mouthful of green sour grapes. How did you do on this exercise? Was it hard to answer all of the questions and recreate all of the sensory impressions? Were you conscious of your eyes shifting as you sifted through the sensory detail required by each question? Now let's take a few minutes to explore in depth these patterns of eye shift movements and connect them to the specific senses with which they're associated. These movements are pictured in your study guide, so follow along in the guide as we discuss each eye shift with its accompanying sense. The first eye shift pattern relates to visual memory recall. When you draw deeply from visual memory, recalling, for example, the fine details of your childhood schoolroom, the face of an old friend, or a good golf instructor demonstrating the placement of the feet when hitting short irons, your eyes will naturally shift to your upper left. The harder it is for you to recall the visual memory, the higher to the left your eyes will go. It's important to note, if you're a dominant left-handed person, your eyes will probably go to the upper left as you do a mental search of visual memory. If you are left-handed or ambidextrous, you might deviate from the eye movement patterns explained here. Don't worry. When you are in doubt, retest yourself by going back to the questions asked above and chart the tendencies of your eyes to gravitate toward various positions as you process each sensory question. The second eye shift pattern relates to the construction of visual images. When you are creating new visual input, piecing images together that are not yet reality, such as constructing in visual detail the elements of a desired goal state, your eyes will shift to an upper right position. And again, the harder it is to visually construct an image, the higher your eyes will go to an upper right-hand position. Just the opposite will be the case for some left-handers, upper left for visual construction. The third pattern of eye movement we will discuss here is the eye shift that activates auditory memory. This is your storehouse of remembered sounds. Your eye shift movement, if you're right-handed, is lateral left. Again, some left-handers might be reversed and access auditory memory with a lateral right eye shift. For the construction of sounds, the fourth eye shift pattern is lateral right. This eye movement pattern, a fine tool for composers and writers, comes into play when you are creating and blending sounds and words. For example, in visualizing the ideal scenario for career success, if you can imagine a coworker saying, "Wow, you really did get that $100,000 order," your eye shift for this and other constructed sounds is lateral right. For some left-handers, lateral left. The remaining eye shift codes should be the same for both right and left-handers. The fifth eye shift movement is for the recall of emotional sensations and feelings. When you recall emotions and feelings from the past, your eyes may first shift to a lower left-hand position to signal the brain for the memory search. Then to activate the memory hologram, you might recall a visual memory, upper left, to see the person or event involved, followed by a move to the lower left to focus into the emotion. Again, you have used a reference sense to activate another sense to recreate the whole experience. To recall the memory of body motion and sensation, you would activate the sixth eye shift pattern. Your eyes would shift to the lower right. The seventh eye shift position is for smell. When you recall the stored memory of a smell, your eyes move to an approximate 10-degree upper central shift, the position your eyes would be in if they were searching your nasal cavity to pick up the scent of a particular smell. To recall the sense of taste from memory, you would activate the eighth eye shift position, which is a lower 10-degree central position, the position to which your eyes would naturally gravitate if you tried to search with your eyes for a particular flavor or taste in your mouth or taste buds. The ninth and last eye shift position we will deal with in this program is that which we call the sensory synthesis position. This eye movement is the blending and synthesis of all of your senses. This eye shift position, which is the central focus position, allows you to mentally replay a sensory-rich, three-dimensional holographic image. This position is the ultimate in sensory processing. When any memory is in sharp focus, or you can easily recall it without any conscious effort, or when you are daydreaming, for example, your eyes will be in this centrally focused position. In this position, all of your senses, sound, sight, touch, taste, smell, and emotion, converge to one central point to blossom forth into a rich image. While all of these eye shifts are distinct movements in the direction indicated, they are fleeting, almost imperceptible movements. In most persons, they are discernible to the careful observer. Later in this program, we will show you how to utilize these eye shift patterns to draw from and input sensory-rich high-achiever behaviors, attitudes, and habits into your holographic brain. You will learn to use these eye movements to program vivid, three-dimensional success goals into your nervous system. What is the link between eye movement and memory recall? How and why do certain patterns of eye movements trigger and activate holographically stored memory? Scientists have discovered a basic and ancient mechanism in the depths of the brain that allows us to understand this most intriguing relationship between eye movement and memory activation. Called the reticular formation, the root reti, taken from the Greek meaning net or web, this ancient mechanism is a bundle of tangled, densely packed clusters of nerve cells located in the central core of the brain stem. To clearly pinpoint its location, refer to your study guide for this section. Roughly the size of a little finger, the reticular formation runs from the top of the spinal cord into the middle of the brain. This area contains nearly 140 billion nerve cells, nearly 70% of the brain's estimated 200 billion nerve cells. This electrical powerhouse not only is the spark of the mind, but is the gatekeeper of consciousness. The brain depends on impulses from the reticular formation for keeping us awake and alert. When electrical stimulation from the reticular formation lessens, we sleep. Injury to the reticular formation results in loss of consciousness and coma. The primary function of the reticular formation, and the one which concerns us here the most, is to act as a sensory filter to the brain, deciding which messages are significant enough to be sent to the conscious mind for attention. Every second, 100 million impulses assault the mind, carrying information from the body's senses. A few dozen of these messages are permitted to enter the brainstem. Of these, the conscious mind heeds only a few. While you may be partially aware of many sights, sounds, smells, and body feelings, your attention is limited to only one sensation at a time. This narrow channel of attention we call concentration. Without this powerful sensory filter, your brain would not be able to sort the significant messages from the unnecessary and trivial. Your reticular formation, this catalytic bundle of nerves, continually sifts, selects, and forwards only essential life-enhancing information to the brain. Without the reticular formation, our brain's electrical system would be overloaded. We would constantly be aware of all of the 100 million sensory impulses that invade our nervous system every second. Imagine for a moment sitting at your desk at work, trying your best to finish a report that must be mailed by the end of the day. Well, it's up to your reticular formation to filter out all the stimuli around you that could distract you from the job at hand. It must protect you from the sound of phones ringing nearby, a typewriter pounding away in a neighboring office, voices in conversation down the hall, the scent of coffee brewing nearby, and the roar of a jet plane as it flies overhead, gently vibrating the building. This same web of nerves must also shield you from extraneous thoughts, concerns over how your daughter is faring with her battle over the flu, excitement over a vacation in Hawaii the following week, and the dull pain of a tension headache that has been bothering you most of the day. Fortunately, if there were an important external message that did need your immediate attention, the reticular formation would instantly channel it to the appropriate area of your brain to capture your attention. If the fire alarm in your office suddenly started ringing, or if someone were calling for help from the street below, this would quickly be brought to your conscious attention. The reticular formation is finely tuned to spot those stimuli that merit your immediate concern and alert your brain. As you may have guessed, the reason we have taken the time to explain the workings of the reticular formation is that it is intricately involved in the relationship between sensory memory recall and eye movement. The nerves which control eye movement, the oculomotor nerves, originate and derive from the reticular formation. It is thought that whenever your eyes move to a particular position, either instinctively or intentionally, your reticular formation is activated, however subtly. With each eye movement, the oculomotor nerve stimulates the reticular formation. This stimulation opens up a particular sensory channel through which the reticular formation sends or beams an impulse to the brain to stimulate sensory memory recall. When the eyes shift in particular directions, to the upper left, for example, or to the lower right, the reticular formation is prompted to access certain types of information from the brain, whether it be visual, tactile, auditory, cognitive, and so on. These patterns of eye movements literally open up sensory channels to the brain, clearing noise, interference, and distraction from our sensory processor, allowing a laser-like beam of light to zero in to trigger and activate sensory memory. The best way to demonstrate the actual clearing of these sensory channels and the principle of laser-like memory activation through movements of the eye is to show you how difficult it is to recall sensory information with your eyes in conflicting sensory positions. For example, with your eyes closed, subtly shift them to the lower right position. This opens up a channel for the memory and sensation of touch and creates an internal climate of sensitivity to internal body functions. While in this position, try to reconstruct from stored auditory memory the chirping sounds of crickets on a warm summer's night. With your eyes in this position, do you feel any internal resistance? Is it difficult to bring up the clear sound of the summer crickets? Do your eyes want to pull to the lateral left position if you're right-handed, or to the lateral right if you're left-handed? Now, with your eyes still closed, move them to the lateral left position. Do you feel the auditory channels clear? Is it now easy to tune into the sound of singing crickets? Now move your eyes to the lower left position and try to solve the following math problem in your mind while in this position. What is the solution to 198 divided by 6 times 4? 198 divided by 6 times 4. Don't worry now about the correct answer. Again, did you feel the internal resistance? Did your eyes want to move up? Now, still keeping your eyes closed, move them to the upper right-hand position if you're right-handed, or the upper left if you're a pure left-hander. Is it easier to concentrate on finding the solution to 198 divided by 6 times 4 with your eyes in this position? These are vivid examples demonstrating the relationship between eye movement and clear access to information stored in the brain. Oh, by the way, if you still haven't solved the math problem, the answer is 132. Another intriguing fact emerges relating to the direction of eye shifts. Why, for example, does an upper left movement for a right-hander trigger visually stored memory? Why does a right-handed individual shift to the right to construct visual information, as in the act of thinking or mathematic calculation? The answer lies in the dual nature of brain structure. Research has shown, and we will discuss this at greater length later in the program, that just as we have two eyes, two ears, two arms, and two legs, we also have two brains. The brain is divided into two distinct sections, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. The left hemisphere, in right-handed people, is specialized for verbal and analytical functions such as reasoning, calculation, thinking and analysis, and the construction of non-related items. The right side of the brain is responsible for processing visual, emotional, sound, and intuitive information. We also know that the right side of the brain controls left body movement, and the left side of the brain controls right body movement. So when you shift your eyes to the left eye movement being directed by the right side of the brain, you are drawing upon the power of the right side of the brain, evoking the memory of sight, sound, and emotion. When your eyes shift to the right, you are activating the power of the left side of the brain, triggering the mental laser beams that allow you to reason, analyze, and construct. Also, the eyes seem to move in the direction to where our main sensory receptors are located. They move up to trigger vision. They move to the side on a plane level with the ears to activate sound. The eyes seem to search the upper nasal cavity to capture smell, and then move centrally down toward the mouth to activate the taste buds. Our new knowledge about eye shift movements raises many intriguing questions that brain scientists will be exploring in the upcoming years. Do you remember that in the beginning of this discussion on the eyes that we talked about the phenomenon of rapid eye movement in dreaming, the centrally focused gaze of a daydreamer, and the spastic eyes of a liar? Now we have the knowledge to understand the relationship between these states, holographic memory, and eye movements. During the sleep-dream state, our eyes dart quickly back and forth under closed lids. Until now, this so-called rapid eye movement, or REM sleep, has been a mystery to sleep researchers. Now we can confidently speculate that rapid eye shifts occur during dreaming because their rapid movements are stimulating the reticular formation, which in turn sends rapid laser-like impulses to the brain to randomly ignite mental holograms or dream images. Because our dreams are so compressed in time, that is, a one-minute dream may seem like several hours, the eye movements must be rapid to compress all of the dream content that is needed. During conscious daydreams, we are often caught up in vivid, three-dimensional images, which are oftentimes difficult to distinguish from reality. During these daydreams, all of our senses are fused into one rich experience. This sensory blending is associated with a central focus position in which our mental holograms are at their sharpest point of definition, rich and alive in sensory detail. The next time you look in the eyes of one who is daydreaming, you'll know why their eyes are caught up in a centrally focused gaze. And finally, when a person tells a lie, why do their eyes oftentimes go into momentary spasm? Because as an untruth is spoken, there exists in the brain no holographically stored memory to back up the words. As the eyes try to search for a corresponding sensory experience that the words convey, there is no stored reference point in the brain from which to draw. The eye's reaction in not being able to locate stored memory is a spasm. The reticular formation searching for stored memory comes up empty and signals back down to the oculomotor nerve. The oculomotor nerve sends an impulse to the muscles, which control eye movement, and the muscles contract and send the eyes into a temporary spasm. One who is a pathological or neurological liar does not know the difference between what is true and what is unreal. The pathological liar has lied so many times and in such exquisite sensory detail that his brain accepts those fabricated images as real. His brain has a rich storehouse of fabricated holograms. When such a person bears an untruth, his eyes don't spasm because there are corresponding holograms in the brain which confirm the pathological liar's words. Though this information about the eye, eye movements, the brain, and sensory recall provides interesting conversation, there is a practical application for this information which you will learn to use in this program. With these prescribed patterns of eye movements, you will be able to input, store, and recall three-dimensional sensory-enriched high-achiever behaviors, attitudes, and habits into and out of your holographic brain with a literal blink of an eye. Before we move on to the next cassette, completely familiarize yourself with the 9 eye movement positions and their corresponding sensory reference points. Exercises in your study guide will help you to master this new information. And when you practice your eye movements in an attempt to consciously stimulate sensory memory, your eyes should be closed. The eye movements themselves should be subtle, not extreme, in order to avoid eye strain and tension headaches. In fact, many people find that excellent results can be achieved by just imagining the eye movements rather than consciously moving their eyes. In this mere act of imagination, your eyes will move to the desired position imperceptibly, but just enough to attain the desired benefits and results. In the next cassette, you will be introduced to a model of a high achiever. This model represents a composite of the most dominant behaviors, attitudes, and habits possessed by real-life high achievers. This information is taken from dozens of studies conducted by the nation's top research centers. Once you become acquainted with these characteristics, we are going to show you a step-by-step discipline which will allow you to permanently incorporate these high achiever characteristics into your brain and nervous system. Utilizing the latest scientific breakthroughs in the brain sciences, you'll be able to create a sensory-rich, three-dimensional, detailed image of achievement that will become your lifelong blueprint for success.